as we bow our heads and ask you, Lord, just to move in among us. Lord, I'm just crazy enough to believe you say you will do things. You'll act among us. And I pray that you'd act today. I pray that you'd move hearts today. Lord, I know you can do that. And I pray that we'd leave differently than when we came in. We're going to be drawn closer to you. We have an option every Sunday to either accept what the Word says to us or reject it. I pray that there'd be receiving hearts today that would take you at your Word, that you tell us in the book of James, if we draw nigh to you, draw close to you, you'll draw close to us. I pray we'd take you up on that offer today. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, it's such a good Lord's Day. We could just make it a praise and prayer time. So I love the fact that everybody is here anxiously waiting on God to speak, and I just don't want to get in the way. So if you need a Bible today, you've got them right here. James. The book of James, it's a blueprint for the Christian life. We're in chapter 4, the last portion of that. How many people have enjoyed the book of James so far? Remember, it's not me preaching, it's the book of James, so it's James preaching. And James is a half-brother of Jesus, and he's probably the pastor of the Jerusalem church that runs about 20,000. And he's the guy that rejected Jesus all his life until Jesus had died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And then finally James accepts his own brother as his Savior. So James is one of those kind of guys that's either all or nothing. You get that from the impression? He's going to tell you what to do, because he's learned these things in a way, the tough way, but that's okay. Once he gets that way, he's bound to determine to hold us to the fire. Today we talk about a subject, a blueprint for the Christian life. These things are very practical. Today I want to start with perhaps a little puzzle here for you. I'm going to give you four pictures. I like to introduce stuff in a different way sometimes. These four pictures have got something in common, and that's what comes from our story today. Does anybody know what one word these four pictures have in common? Pride. What?
Pride.
Pride. This happens to be
Charlie Pride.
How'd y'all know that, Melba? Melba knows.
I know.
Charlie remembers Joshua and Moses singing it. No, Melba, how'd you know Charlie Pride? I thought I was the only one.
That's my favorite singer.
Okay. Oh, the snakes crawl at night. Okay, anyway, that's Charlie Pride.
That's true.
How about these? Scott Bakula, who was in Quantum Leap for a long time, he now stars in NCIS New Orleans, and he plays a character known as Dwayne Pride. Of course, we know that's a pride. And then that's a Salem High School band, and they call themselves the Pride of Salem. Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 4, because we're going to pick up on that word, pride. James chapter 4. And if you've got James chapter 4 before you, then you're waiting on me to get that. James chapter 4. Now with the word pride, you're going to see it jump off the pages. That's why I gave it to you first. James chapter 4, and we're going to pick up with verse 11. That's where I left off last week. Brothers, do not slander one another. I wish James just come straight to the point instead of just beating around. Look at that. Boom. Don't say bad things. Brothers, don't slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? James just stomps on your toes, doesn't he? By the way, is he speaking? What group is he speaking to? Is this unbelievers or believers?
Believers.
He's talking to Christians, yeah. He stands up in his pulpit there at the First Church of Jerusalem and says, y'all get right with God. We are right with God. Well, then get right and get closer to him. James, man, you're hammering us. You're right. So I think he lived it first, and now he wants his followers, his church members there, and he wants... Here's the words today, encouraging us to do the same thing. Keep reading. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such bragging is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Boy, that 17 stomps on you. James is speaking to a bunch of believers, and he really just tells them to put others before themselves. I don't know if you got a quick review list of how these things that James does. He talks about trials and temptations, how we're to consider it joy. Don't just be a hearer, but a doer of the word. Don't play favorites. Don't put the rich people up front and the poor people in the back. If that was the case, I'd never get to eat in a restaurant. Faith and deeds, let your walk match your talk. Taming the tongue, don't bless and then curse. Two kinds of wisdom, godly one from heaven and demonic one from hell. And last week, submitting to God. You don't have to raise your hand, but which one of those things out of James is so practical you say, wow, that did me some good? I don't know. Hopefully all of them. So how is today going to work into that boasting and pride? Well, notice in verse 13, five things not to brag about. Verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city. What's the first thing someone's bragging about? Tomorrow. Not to be harsh, but you don't know what?
What tomorrow brings.
You don't know what tomorrow brings, or even if tomorrow will come. You know, I didn't say we have to, don't take this the wrong way and say, well, can't we have a plan? Sure, planning's fine, but I'm talking about those people that put all their eggs where?
In one basket,
and their basket's tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll come to church. We got people out. I love you guys today. You're blessing my heart. But I have invited several this week via Facebook or via in person or anything else. I invited somebody to church the other day at the DMV. You know, I had to stand in line. I thought they punished me, I'm going to punish him. But anyway, I said, y'all, why don't y'all come to church? And I don't see them here today. And you know when they're going to come to church?
Next Sunday. And then the next Sunday.
Tomorrow. I'll be there. So they put off. Tomorrow. I'll be there. Well, James says sometimes we do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do this and that. And, oh, yeah. It's almost like we jump in a car for a trip. And we've got a certain time to go. How long is this guy going to stay? Today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city and spend a what?
A little while.
A year there. Wow. You've already got this thing planned out. And I just feel like if we're not careful, that we don't include God in our plans. And that's what James is really saying. He is speaking to a Jerusalem church of believers. And these believers are looking at James like, you just don't understand. He says, I do understand. Some of you have got some plans. Not to be picking on the Mormons. I don't think the Mormons are Christians. I'll speak truth today. I think it's a cult group. He said, Elijah, Edgar, you're harsh. Won't you and James both get it? No, I'm just saying, I want you to be saved. And I don't know that people in a group like that are. And so they knocked on the door a long time ago when I lived in Giles, and they started talking, and I thought, I'm going to give them a chance to talk because then I get a chance to talk. And they talked for 15 minutes and never mentioned the name
Jesus.
Did I hear another name? Sure, I heard Joseph Smith a lot. And I said, well, this is Joe Smith. They said, wait a minute, don't be disrespectful to Joe Smith. I thought, you guys are comical. You don't mention my Savior's name once, but I can't call him Joe Smith because that's disrespectful. Well, Joseph Smith's the founder of the Mormons, by the way. He found some plates in the 1800s that basically told him there are no modern-day prophets, the Bible tells us that. But I thought, wow, you got to show respect to God. And so do I have him? Absolutely. Is he in my plans? He better be. So don't you dare say or forget to leave off the name Jesus. How could you tell somebody how about heaven and hell and not mention Jesus? It's almost like having a birthday party for Brett. And we get up and we brag on everybody and like, oh, you forgot to mention Brett. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, Brett. It's your birthday. Well, this is Jesus' day and we'll forget him. This man says, today or tomorrow we'll go to this and that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Okay, so he is going to say, tomorrow I'm going to take off. I'm going to spend a year somewhere. I'm going to carry on business. I'm going to travel, trade, and have some treasure. Now, let's see if we can find those again. Today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city. That means certain time. We're going to travel there, carry on business. That means we'll trade, and we're going to make some money. If you could pull this person aside and say, have you prayed about this? What would they most likely say? No. This is my plan. Okay. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. In our language, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. You don't even know if tomorrow will be here. And then he really hits home. And somebody might say, well, sure I can. I know what tomorrow will bring. He says, you don't even know how long your life will what last. And then he gets really down to the detail. And somebody says, I'll probably live to be 100. What is your life? You are a what? A mist. When I spoke for Paul Casey's homegoing, that Joe and Miss Peggy would remember, I brought this out. I said that we are a mist. Some people might say that we are, get up on a cold morning and go, you're a little breath, you're a vapor. We don't like to talk like that. Man, don't do that. Well, I need to. You're a mist. You're a vapor. Some people say that we are smoke. That's what a Bible verse says. We are just there and gone. And if you don't believe that, why is it that at a funeral someone says, I just can't believe he's gone. It just seems like he was here today and what?
Gone tomorrow.
And that person might have been 100 years old. It just seems like he was here and gone. Billy Graham died at almost 100 years old. If you made this wall eternity, Billy Graham's 100 years is a little dot right there. And why on earth people want to live for that little dot and not that whole wall, I don't know. But James brought these people under, I think, conviction right there. You got to quit making plans and not including God. And you might wonder, well, what's wrong with bragging or boasting a little bit? Well, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Watch me, I can do this, I can do that. Well, you're setting yourself up. There are six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven that are an abomination. And the first thing out of that list of six is a proud look. I've heard two preachers recently. I heard someone the other day. I've looked up two commentaries that say, said, if you named the worst sin in the Bible, guess what it would be? Oh, it must be adultery. Nope. Thievery. Nope. Guess what the worst sin that God would put at the top of his list in this Bible? Pride. Really? Oh, where do you get that from? Well, in his pride, the wicked does not seek him. Who's the most wicked one that you can think of? That would be Satan. How about this? Lucifer said, I will ascend to heaven. I will sit on the throne. I will be God. Excuse me? What was Lucifer's sin? What was that beautiful angel called Lucifer's sin? Pride. I'll do what I want to do. Yeah. There you and a third of your angels will be kicked out of heaven because of pride. I don't want to be anything like him. Now, if you say, can pride be compared to something that we're already going to go on a trip tomorrow? We're already there. We're already, wait a minute now, we haven't left this yet. Have y'all ever left one task to go do another one? Yeah, we do that sometimes. I think this team on December 23rd, 1982, there was a basketball game played in Hawaii. Joey, you remember this game?
UVA game.
How do you know that? Joey's a big basketball guy. This is Joey right here. No, I'm just kidding. This is not, that was Joey right here. No, Joey, I was ragging. This is the guy, number 50, that played for UVA. It was a game played between Virginia Cavaliers and an NAIA school. They weren't even NCAA at the time, by the name of Chaminade University. At the time of the game, the Virginia Cavaliers were ranked the number one team in the nation. They not only were ranked number one of the most prolific players, that's my words, I didn't copy this, man. I would give him credit, and the game was Ralph Sampson. He was already two-time, soon to be three-time college player of the year. So with Ralph Sampson pulling down about 17 rebounds and scoring about 12 points, he probably led that team to victory. Oh no, Virginia lost by 5 points. Was that a fluke? No, they now have a tournament down there all the time. Chaminade is, they're there consistently. Matter of fact, this year that they beat UVA, they later beat someone else. that was like a top 10 program. So they actually, it's not a fluke. They continually do that. Matter of fact, they're the only small school that's in that tournament. They continually do well. Trivia question, Joey, go ahead. The team was ranked number one. When's the next time UVA was number one in the nation? You know what, how ironically this is? This past February. They hadn't been number one since they were right here. By the way, did they stay number one? Not for long. There's a verse in the Bible that would remind you, and I'm not picking on UVA. Ralph Sampson, 7'4". He's pretty good. Three-time college player of the year. What do you think? But do you think they went in there and they were probably in their mind, maybe a little bit, was saying, tomorrow we're going to beat this team. Someone wiser would have probably said, we better play this team first. And already looking past them. Here's a verse that's found in 1 Kings 20:11. There's someone sort of bragging on what they were going to do. And one who puts on his armor should not boast like one who takes it off. That means you better play the game. What? First, before you decide to brag. I showed you a picture of the Pride of Salem just a minute ago, their band. You know, don't tell anybody, if any of my ministers listen to my message today, I probably won't have to worry about that. But anyway, I'll pick on Salem here a second. I was teaching summer school one time. And in that summer school class, at driver's ed, I had about 3 or 4 football boys in the back. And I started teaching, and we took a break, and I left, and I came back in, and I heard one of them in the back, they were talking. They had this brochure, and they were looking at stuff. And I went back and thought, what are you guys looking at? Probably going to order a plate. No, these are the rings when we win the state this year. We're wondering what rings we should order. Season hadn't started yet. And I quoted this verse to them. And one of them said, well, what's that mean? The other football guy said, he says, we better play games before we start bragging about winning games. I said, good thing. You're paying attention. Matter of fact, you can get over what? Overconfident. Give me a spiritual lesson about that. Some people say, oh, I'm going to heaven. There's no way a good God would ever not allow me into heaven. So you're already making plans about God. Don't do that. Joey, this is for your dad. If I sat there and thought about that, I'd probably weep. Joey's daddy and I were 76ers fans. This is Dr. J, best player that's ever played the game. That's my opinion. He was a role player, did okay, but the one year they came in 1983, the year our son Andy was born, they had this guy from Richmond, Virginia named Moses Malone, never even played college. He just went from a high school to the pros. And Dr. J dropped back and quit being the star of the team and started just being a support role. He'd been a star for so long. That year he swallowed his what?
Pride,
dropped over and said, it's not about me, it's about the team. I'll just be a supporting role. And they won a national championship. Isn't it amazing when you quit trying to be the star of everything? But Dr. J, I think he could play the game pretty well. We must realize that when we boast or brag, we're really telling the world that we don't need God. I got this. Okay. And that we are relying on us, not him. But check out what the Bible says in Jeremiah 9. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man, if you think you're pretty smart, I got a 4.0. Okay, I'm proud of you for doing that. If you work hard, but just remember, let not the wise man boast of the wisdom, or the strong man boast of the strength, or the rich man boast of the riches. But let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Can y'all just convince that down and say, if you're going to brag, brag on who? God. That's convicting sometimes to me. I've been around a few people when they died, and I've never had anybody show me their college degree yet. I've never had anybody talk about money. Never had anybody say, I'm strong, I've been benched 225 8 times. But I have had people start talking about God. And something that's very important. I just want to remind you today, we need not boast unless we boast in God. We should seek wisdom from God and directions from God anytime we do something in our lives. And remember what John 15:5 says. Jesus, remember, James was Jesus' half brother. Jesus had a way of just boom right in your face too. How about this one? I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Because apart from me,
you can do nothing.
Apart from me, it ain't happening. I don't know how much clearer we can be than that. So at this special time of the year, let's make sure we know God and boast only in Him. We should be thankful to God for all He's done. And the opposite of pride is humble. May we remain humble and thank God daily for offering us salvation. He didn't have to do that, but He did. And He offers me forgiveness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. When I get up and feel like I've really messed up the few days before that, I just think, Lord, and He says, put that behind you. Get up, let's go. And He forgives me, and the opportunity to know Him again that day. I know Him as my Savior every day, but I want to know Him closer and to live for Him. And I got to put me behind me. We should pray. I just want to put everything behind us, and now let's pray and put God in front of us. We should pray always according to God's will. Just as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. Who did He put first right there in the garden? He put God's will first. If Jesus, remember, He's God and man. As a man, what did He want to do? I want to get rid of this cross. I don't want to die tomorrow. And I especially don't want to die the way they're going to crucify me. But not my will. It's not about me. It's about you, God. Here's what Philippians 2, 5, and 8 says. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing. Sounds pretty humble. By taking the very nature of a servant. By the way, in John, He also proved that. What did He do in John 13 with the disciples on His last day on earth? He washed. I don't know how much more humble you can get than that. He didn't stand up and give a rousing speech. I am God. You will do what I say. Now let me wash your feet. Those dirty, grimy, dusty feet. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death. Even death on a cross, which is a cruel death. And before we pray together, I'm going to close with a story. If you had an opportunity to win, I would think, well, I want to win. Is there an exception to that? Yes. Yes, there is. I love this, this story. It happened about 10 years ago. And here's the story. On a splendid April afternoon in 2008, two college women's softball teams, one from Oregon, one from Washington, squared off beneath the blue sky of the Cascade Mountains. Inside a chain-link fence before 100 fans, two teams played a decisive game. The winner would advance to the division playoffs. The loser would hang up their gloves and do what? Go home. So it's either do or die, it's all or nothing. The Western Oregon Wolves were a sturdy team that boasted several strong batters, but Sarah Pahulski was not one of them. She hit .153. That's her batting average. 153. Not something that you probably want to brag on too much. She played in the game only because the first string right fielder had muffed a play earlier in the day, so Sarah got to replace her. Sarah had never hit a home run in her life, but on that Saturday, with two runners on base, she connected with a curveball and sent it sailing over the left field fence. Ooh. Good day for Sarah. In her excitement, Sarah missed first base. Her coach shouted for her to stop and return and go back to first. And as she went back, oh, pulled a muscle in her leg and went down. She looks to coach. I can just imagine her like, if I hadn't have turned. Of course, Joe, she hadn't went back. Okay, so she's got to go. As she turns and goes back, oh, there it goes. Now, you must know, I'm a sports guy, but I read this and I want to weep. She's in trouble. The home run went over the fence, but it's not a home run unless she touches home. Her players want to come help umpires who like this. Really, how come they can't help? Can't assist the runner. Stop it. Wait a minute. The team's like, and Sarah's in pain. You got him. He goes like this. She's just going to be crazy hard. When she returned and started back, something popped in her knee and down she went. She dragged herself back to the bag, pulling her knee to her chest in pain, asked the first base coach, what do I do? Umpire wasn't sure. He knew if Sarah's teammates assisted, she would be out. Sarah knew if she tried to stand, she would collapse again and probably do further damage. Her team couldn't help her. Her leg couldn't support her. How on earth could she cross home plate? The umpires huddle to talk. And while they huddle to talk, Sarah moans in pain. By the way, I pause that story. Are you and I anything like Sarah? Yeah, cause we're trying to make it home, and we can't. Not in our own merit. And every once in a while in our life, we experience pain. And we often ask, what do I do? I think it's an illustration right here of what Sarah is going to have happen and what we need to have happen. Or what does the rest of the story tell us? Here it is. Jesus does for us what Mallory Holtman did for Sarah Pulaski that day. Sarah, remember, she's torn her ACL during her home run trial. She's lying on the ground in pain, clutching her knee with one hand, touching first base with the other. The umpires huddled. The players stood and watched. The fans shouted for someone to take Sarah off the field, but she didn't want to leave. She wanted to cross home plate. Mallory Holtman came up with a solution. What's odd about this is Mallory Holtman was the first baseman for the other team. She knew that her team had now really lost. And she looks down at Sarah, and she looks at the umpire. Her teammates can't help her. Can we help her? The umpire's like, if you want to. Nothing in the rule book says you can't. So Mallory and another teammate picked Sarah up. And carry her to second base, lower her down so she can touch the base. Carry her to third base, lower her down, let her touch the base. And bring her toward home and touch the base, and the crowd roars. Sarah's just made it home. What do you think of Mallory? When she hollers at umpires, can I help around the bases? Why would you want to do that? One asked. Before she could answer, the umpire shrugged. Do it. So Mallory did. She signaled for the shortstop to help her, and the two walked toward the injured player. We're going to pick you up and carry you around the bases. By this time, tears streaked Sarah's cheeks. Thank you for helping me to go home. Mallory and her friend put one hand under Sarah's legs and the other hand under Sarah's arms, and the mission of mercy began. They paused long enough at second and third to lower Sarah's foot to touch the bases, and by the time they headed home, the spectators had risen to their feet. Sarah's teammates had gathered at home plate, and Sarah was smiling like a homecoming queen. Well, she should, because the only one who could help her did. Because she did, Sarah made it home. Sarah's us, but we're Sarah, and Mallory is Jesus. And Jesus picks me up when I'm hurting and says, let me carry you home. Now, you can let that pride get in the way. I got this. Oh, maybe you don't have this. Unless I help you, you won't make it home. Okay. And Jesus helps me to touch the bases in life and make me home. And only, unlike a TV show, when somebody says, thanks for doing that, all it was nothing, Jesus will never say that. Thanks for saving us all. It cost me my life. But you're welcome. And I don't mind him saying that at all. How about you? You heading toward home? Need some help? Today, swallow that pride and say, Jesus, I cannot do this without you. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, today of all days, as we get ready for Thanksgiving, later this week, Jesus, may we start early and be thankful for what you've done. Lord, you did for us what no one else could do. You picked us up when we were hurting. And you carry us. And one day you'll carry us across a threshold or a new home in heaven. Lord, I'm glad I can count on you. I'm glad you saw me when I was hurting, and you did for me what no one else could do. And so, Jesus, thank you for an idea today that we can see it in this sports illustration. And Lord, if we're hurting and we're clinging to a base and we may be clinging to something and putting our hope in that, Jesus, today, help us to relinquish all control over what we think we can do and just say, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Would you forgive us of all our sins today, Jesus, and help us to cling to you and help us to look to you to take us home one day. If someone here that doesn't know you, Jesus, may you just touch your heart right now, and in a simple moment, may they say, Jesus, I'm ready to accept you as my Savior. Would you forgive me? I accept you. I invite you into my heart, my life. Take over, and you be the one that gets all the credit. May I now boast in you, not in me, because it's nothing. Not by works of righteousness that we ever done that will get us anywhere. So Jesus, maybe today we've got our eyes off you. We've been acting like we've got it all under control. So Jesus, today help us to let you take over again. Help us to relinquish the control or the power we think we have and say, Jesus, you do it. You're the captain of the ship. So Lord, forgive us. Help us to see you so clear today that we are now dependent upon you for everything. So Lord, our cares or worries or frets, they're in your hands. Help us to live out this faith strong and help us to boast in you. When people say, how did you ever do that? Say, I didn't. Jesus did. It's in your name I pray. Amen.